Sermon title today is I Gotched It, and I'll explain that to you when we get a little deeper into it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And then verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Psalms 19 and 1 says this: The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it talks about, and we're going to turn there, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it talks about that the creation declares the goodness and the mighty works of God. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, and verse 20 says this: For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All of creation declares the glory of our God. Creation shouts, Praise be to God. Glory in the highest. But what has our world done? Mankind has exchanged the truth of God for a lie. When you allow Satan to question if God is who he really says that he is, or that he will do what he really says that he will do, then you are holding nothing but an empty bag of promises. That is what this world has without God, an empty bag. In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to turn back to Romans in just a second, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis 1 verse 1, it says, In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You gotched it? It was something that my boys used to do when they were younger. And to give you an example, we were pulling in the driveway, and their trash can was out by the road, and it was after trash day, and I told the boys, would you get out and get that trash can, and would you roll it back off the road where it belongs? Andrew got out, Leo started to get out, and what does Leo say? Andrew's gotched it. He didn't say Andrew has it, or Andrew will get it, or he will take care of it. It was the word, the phrase that they always used, he's gotched it. And for us today, we need to know that God established in your heart and in your life that He is the creator of the universe. It wasn't done by evolution. It wasn't done by the Big Bang Theory. It is done because God spoke it into existence. You gotched it? Our God spoke this world into existence. In Genesis 1:3, it says, Then God said. In Genesis 1:6, it says, Then God said. In verse 9, it says, Then God said. The world has to ignore and destroy the verse 1 of the Bible to take away the accountability and the responsibility of a creator. Because if you believe that he's a creator and you believe that this is God's word, then you are accountable and you are responsible to what it says. So the first thing that they want to do is establish that there is no creator. If God is not who he says he is in verse 1, then we will not do what he says he will do. If Genesis 1:1 is not correct, then he created male and female is not correct. Then marriage is not correct. If Genesis 1:1 is not correct, then we can reinterpret creation to fit our own narrative of what we wanted to say. The world has done exactly what? They have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. In Romans chapter 1, I said we'd go back there. In verse 25, it says, Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They have exchanged the truth of God's word for what? An empty bag. And I truly believe that many people in this world are starting to see that there is nothing in the bag that they are holding. Because if you don't have the Lord Jesus, you have an empty bag in your life. If you don't believe in God, you're holding an empty bag if you're aligning yourself with the truths of this world, because the truths of this world is nothing but an empty bag without God. Yes, if verse 1 of Genesis is not correct, then the world then starts reinterpreting creation. It starts reinterpreting gender. It starts reinterpreting marriage. And outside of our relationship with God through Christ, the marriage relationship is the most intimate relationship on this side of heaven. I'll say that again. Outside of our relationship with God through Christ, the marriage relationship is the most intimate relationship this side of heaven. If you and I are to ever be successful in our marriage, it must be one that is carried out by the truth of the Scripture, and I'm going to prove that to you today. If I am to be successful in my marriage, a union that God created, then I must look to God for His direction, for His leadership, and for His guidance. If God is the creator, and God said that to do this, and God said we would do this, then that's exactly what we should do. And if we don't do that, we're not going to be successful. To say that God did not create marriage or ordain the marriage relationship, you would have to rewrite all of history. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis 2 and verse 18. In verse 18 of Genesis 2, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was what its name was. Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no helper, no found a helper comparable to him." In verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." In verse 23, I heard a minister talk this past week. Verse 23 says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And I heard a minister talking about this. He says, if you take this all the way back to the original Hebrew, Adam said two words, hot dog. I still feel that way about my wife today. Hot dog. How she could ever find a worm such as I and be willing to marry me, I am really excited about that. And I love her all with my heart that I can love her without putting her in front of God. I love her that much. Now, there's times at 67 years old, I wish that sometimes she didn't think she needed to instruct me so much. But sometimes she does still feel like she needs to instruct me. And I heard a minister say, and he was talking about marriage, and he was telling his wife, and he was sharing with his wife, and they were driving in a car, and he said, "Honey, you know, there is not a lot of excitement left in this world anymore, and would you please let me find my own parking spot?" He finally pulled into the parking spot, and his wife reached over and pats him on the leg and says, "Now, don't you feel like a big boy? You did this all on your own." So, yes, sometimes we still need that instruction and that guidance. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And maybe one would say that from this scripture was the ordination and the marriage relationship then and forever, which is true. But maybe someone would say, "Well, now, Pastor Leo, from this one verse, aren't you stretching a bit to say that all of the marriage relationships are orchestrated and this was the design of all from this time forward?" And the answer is no. Jesus repeat these words in regards to marriage. So we look at verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The ordination of marriage taking place at this time. And this would be a picture of all marriages that would follow after. And somebody would say, well, I don't know if you can gain all that from this one verse or not, but we can also update it in the New Testament from the very words of Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew 19. Now, we're going to come back to Genesis, but turn with me to Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, when you go down to verse 3, in verse 3, the Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up, trying to confuse him, which could not be done. But in verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And look what Jesus says, because he refers right back to Genesis. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So Jesus refers right back to that scripture that we were talking about in the book of Genesis, Genesis 2. And verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the orchestration of the marriage relationship. Now, let's go back to the original verse in verse 24, and we see three words. In the New King James, it says leave, joined, and one. Do you see that in verse 24? Therefore a man shall what? Leave his father and mother, and be what? Joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One. One flesh. The Old King James Version says, leave, cleave, and one. New King James, leave, joined, and one. Old King James, leave, cleave, and one. And I like the word cleave. Cleave in Webster Dictionary means to adhere, to cling to be faithful to. From these three words, we get the following three identifying characteristics of a successful marriage. Is God not wise or what? Think about that. From these three words, we get the following three identifying characteristics of a successful marriage. From these three words, it has been revealed to us, number one, the priority of marriage, number two, the permanence of marriage, and number three, the purpose of marriage. Number one, leave. Let's read that again. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. I leave my old family structure that I was joined to. This union, my family, becomes the priority in my life. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, I will honor you because the Ten Commandments tell me that I need to honor you, but now this is my family. This is the one that is my priority. You're important to me, but you are not a priority. My wife or my husband, my children, they are the priority because we are the family unit. Husband and wives, are you making each other a priority in your life? If everybody needs to take an interview or review their own individual life, are you making sure that your spouse is a priority in your life? What did we say? These things will make us successful in our marriage relationship. And if your spouse is not a priority, we've got problems. Listen to me, outside of your relationship that you have with God, your spouse is your top priority. It's not your children. Your children flow out of the relationship of mother and father. Husband and wives, you flow out of your relationship with your Creator. The kids should never become before the spouse, because the spouse is the nucleus of which the children flow out of, to make sure that they're emotionally and that they're taken care of in the way they should be taken care of, I first have to take care of numero uno, and that's my spouse, out of my relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. So God first, spouse second. You got it? Nothing should be in front of it. Number two, permanence, the cleave. The glue that holds us together, that we are welded together. This is a done deal. Nothing's going to change, and nothing's going to change it. Until what? Until death do us part. This is it. We got this. We're going to handle this. We're going to deal with this. Whatever that we have to deal with, we're going to make this work right here. We're not going to go on. We're not going to change. We're not going to separate. We're not going to do something different. We're going to make this work. Because we are cleaving together. We have been glued together. We are bound together. We are welded together. Nothing is ever going to change that, and we are not going to allow that. We are going to grow old together. I told Carol that years and years ago, and we made it because we're old today. Grow old together through all the bumps, all the trials, all the heartache, all the frustration, all the things that are done wrong in our marriage relationship, all the things that I have done wrong, all the things that she has done wrong. It makes no difference. We have been cleaved together by the power and the authority of God, and we are not going to allow anybody to put that asunder. Amen. And most certainly, we are not going to do that ourselves. We're going to make this work. Number three, one, the purpose. Is to become one in our thoughts and our actions and our desires. Is God the creator of the universe? Did he know what he was doing? And the answer is yes. Including the marriage relationship. Three things. Leave the priority. Cleave the permanence. One, the purpose. Go home today and name one thing together you need to work on. And then do it. Do it. The world doesn't care. The world will toss you to the side. God cares. And he wants your relationship to be an everlasting relationship. It's amazing when you're a pastor, because you think about it, well, as a pastor, you should be the best preacher in the world. And you should be a craftsman, you should be an architect, you should be a builder, almost an engineer. You should know every answer to talk to and deal with the youth. And you should be able to share with them and lead the youth, and you should be able to lead the adults, and you should be able to counsel any marriage problem that's ever come across the board at any one time or not. Pastor Leo cannot measure up to that. But somebody can. And it's our Heavenly Father through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can touch and he can move and he can heal and he can deliver, he can set free. Through him, all things are what? All things are possible through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do this. You can do this. Husband and wives, we got this. I got it. We can do it. Will you stand with me today? Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this day that you have given us to come out and to praise and to lift up the name of Jesus. And what a powerful service that we've had today. And I pray that, Father, we will take words away from here that sparked in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we will be led and guided and directed by your power, by your anointing today. We thank you, Father, for this time. And I pray for all of my brothers and sisters today that, Father, you would bless them. And I pray that, Father, this next week will be nothing but a week of blessing. That, Father, you would open doors that seem to be closed. And, Father, you would move on hearts that seem to be shut down to you. Because we know that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. That, Father, everything is revealed by your power, by your authority. Father, be with us now. We ask it today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. May the Lord bless you all. Have a great week.